Act 3, Scene 1. Enter King, Queen, Polonius, Ophelia, Rosencrantz, Guildenstern, and Lords. The King. And can you by no drift of conference get from him why he puts on this confusion, grating so harshly all his days of quiet with turbulent and dangerous lunacy? Rosencrantz. He does confess he feels himself distracted. But from what cause a will by no means speak? Guildenstern. Nor do we find him forward to be sounded, but with crafty madness keeps aloof when we would bring him on to some confession of his true state. Queen. Did he receive you well? Rosencrantz. Most like a gentleman. Guildenstern. But with much forcing of his disposition. Rosencrantz. Niggard of question, but of our demands most free in his reply. Queen. Did you assay him to any pastime? Rosencrantz. Madam, it so fell out that certain players we o'erwrought on the way. Of these we told him, and there did seem in him a kind of joy to hear of it. They're here about the court. And, as I think, they have already ordered this knight to play before him. Polonius. 'Tis most true, and he beseech me to entreat your majesties to hear and see the matter. King. With all my heart, and it doth much content me to hear him so inclined. Good gentlemen, give him a further edge, and drive his purpose into these delights. Rosencrantz. We shall, my lord. Exeunt Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. King. Sweet Gertrude, leave us too, for we have closely sent for Hamlet hither, that he is, as 'twere by accident, may here affront Ophelia, her father and myself, lawful espials, will so bestow ourselves that, seeing unseen, we may of their encounter frankly judge, and gather by him, as he is behaved, if this be the affliction of his love, or know that thus he suffers for. Queen, I shall obey you. And for your part, Ophelia, I do wish that your good beauties be the happy cause of Hamlet's wildness. So shall I hope your virtues will bring him to his wonted way again, to both your honors. Ophelia, Madam, I wish it may. Exit Queen with Lords. Polonius. Ophelia, walk you here, gracious, so please you. We will bestow ourselves. To Ophelia. Read on this book, that show of such an exercise may color your loneliness. We are oft to blame in this. 'Tis too much proved that with devotion's visage and pious action, we do sugar o'er the devil himself. King, speaking aside, O, 'tis too true. How smart a lash that speech doth give my conscience. The harlot's cheek, beautied with plastic green art, is not more ugly to the thing that helps it than is my deed to my most painted word. O, heavy burden! Polonius, I hear him coming. Let's withdraw, my lord. Exeunt King and Polonius. Enter Hamlet. Hamlet. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing end them. To die, to sleep, no more. And by a sleep to say we end the heartache, and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished, to die, to sleep perchance, to dream. Hi, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come, when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would hear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love and the law's delay, the insolence of office and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare bodkin? Who would fardels bear, to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country, from whose bourne no traveler returns, puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with pale cast of thought and enterprises of great pitch and moment. With this regard their currents turn awry and lose the name of action. Soft you now, the fair Ophelia, nymph in thy orisons, be all my sins remembered. Ophelia, good my lord, how does your honor for this many a day? Hamlet, I humbly thank you well. Ophelia, my lord, I have remembrance of yours that I have long to redeliver. I pray you now receive them. Hamlet, no, not I. I never gave you aught. Ophelia, my honored lord, you know right well you did, and with them words of so sweet breath composed as made the things more rich. Their perfume lost, take these again, for to the noble mind rich gifts wax poor when givers prove unkind. There, my lord. Hamlet, ha ha, are you honest? Ophelia, my lord. Hamlet, are you fair? Ophelia, what means your lordship? Hamlet, that if you be honest and fair, your honesty should admit no discourse to your beauty. Ophelia, could beauty, my lord, have better commerce than with honesty? Hamlet, high truly, for the power of beauty will sooner transform honesty from what it is to a bawd than the force of honesty can translate beauty into his likeness. This was sometimes a paradox, but now the time gives it proof. I did love you once. Ophelia, indeed, my lord, you made me believe so. Hamlet, you should not have believed me, for virtue cannot so inoculate our old stock, but we shall relish of it. I loved you not. Ophelia, I was the more deceived. Hamlet, get thee to a nunnery. Why wouldst thou be a breeder of sinners? I am myself indifferent honest, but yet I could accuse me of such things that it were better my mother had not borne me. I am very proud, revengeful, ambitious, and with more offenses at my beck than I have thoughts to put them in, imagination to give them shape, or time to act them in. What should such fellows as I do crawling between earth and heaven? We are arrant knaves all. Believe none of us. Go thy ways to a nunnery. Where's your father? Ophelia. At home, my lord. Hamlet. Let the doors be shut upon him, that he may play the fool nowhere but in's own house. Farewell. Ophelia. Oh, help him, you sweet heavens. Hamlet. If thou dost marry, I'll give thee this plague for thy dowry. Be thou as chaste as ice, as pure as snow. Thou shalt not escape calumny. Get thee to a nunnery. Farewell. Or if thou wilt needs marry, marry a fool, for wise men know well enough what monsters you make of them. To a nunnery go, and quickly too. Farewell. Ophelia. Heavenly powers restore him. Hamlet, I have heard of your paintings well enough. God hath given you one face, and you make yourselves another You jig and amble, and you lisp. You nickname God's creatures and make your wantonness your ignorance. Go to, I'll no more on it. It hath made me mad. I say we will have no more marriage. Those that are married already, all but one, shall live. The rest shall keep as they are. To a nunnery, go! Exit. Ophelia. Oh, what a noble mind is e'er overthrown! The courtiers, soldiers, scholars, eye, tongue, sword, the expectancy and rose of the fair state, the glass of fashion and the mold of form, the observed of all observers, quite down, an eye of ladies most deject and wretched, that suck the honey of this musicked vows. Now see that noble and most sovereign reason, like sweet bells jangled, out of time and harsh, that unmatched form and feature of blown youth, blasted with ecstasy. Oh, woe is me to have seen what I have seen. See what I see. Enter King and Polonius. King. Love? His affections do not that way tend, nor what he spake, though it lacked form a little, was not like madness. There's something in his soul, or which he has melancholy, sits on brood, and I do doubt the hatch and the disclose will be some danger, which for to prevent. I have in quick determination thus set it down. He shall with speed to England for the demand of our neglected tribute. Haply the seas and countries different, with variable objects, shall expel this something settled matter in his heart, whereon his brains still beating puts him thus from fashion of himself. What think you on it? Polonius. It shall do well. But yet do I believe this origin and commencement of his grief sprung from neglected love? How now, Ophelia? You need not tell us what Lord Hamlet said. We heard it all. My lord, do as you please, but if you hold it fit, after the play, let his queen mother, all alone, entreat him to show his grief. Let her be round with him, and I'll be placed, so please you, in the ear of all their conference. If she finds him not, to England send him, or confine him where your wisdom best shall think. King. It shall be so. Madness in great ones must not unwatched go. Exeunt. Scene 2. Enter Hamlet and three of the players. Hamlet. Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you, trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it, and as many of our players do, I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines. Nor do not saw the air too much with your hand thus, but use all gently, for in the very torrent, tempest, and, as I may say, whirlwind of your passion, you must acquire and beget a temperance that may give it smoothness. Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwigipated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who, for the most part, are capable of nothing but inexplicable, dumb shows and noise. I would have such a fellow whipped for overdoing Termagant. It outhead Herod's Herod. Pray you avoid it. Player 1. I warrant your honor. Hamlet. Be not too tame neither, but let your own discretion be your tutor. Suit the action to the word to the action, with this special observance, that you overstep not the modesty of nature, for anything so overdone is from the purpose of playing, whose end, both at the first and now, was and is, to hold as 'twere the mirror up to nature, to show virtue her own feature, scorn her own image, and the very age and body of the time his form and pressure. Now, this overdone, or come tardy off, though it makes the unskillful laugh, cannot but make the judicious grieve, the censure of the which one must, in your allowance, o'erweigh a whole theatre of others. Oh, there be players that I have seen play, and heard others praise, and that highly, not to speak it profanely, that neither having the accent of Christians, nor the gait of Christian, pagan, nor man, have so strutted and bellowed that I have thought some of nature's journeymen had made men, and not made them well. They imitated humanity so abominably. Player 1. I hope we have reformed that indifferently with us. Hamlet. Oh, reform it altogether, and let those that play your clowns speak no more than is set down for them. For there be of them that will themselves laugh, to set on some quantity of barren spectators to laugh too. Though in the meantime some necessary question of the play be then to be considered. That's villainous, and shows a more pitiful ambition in the fool that uses it. Go, make you ready. Exeunt players. Enter Polonius, Guildenstern, and Rosencrantz. How now, my lord? Will the king hear this piece of work? Polonius. And the queen, too, and that presently. Hamlet. Bid the players make haste. Exit Polonius. Will you, too, help to hasten them? Rosencrantz. I, my lord. Exeunt they, too. Hamlet. What ho, Horatio? Enter Horatio. Horatio. Here, sweet lord, at your service. Hamlet. Horatio, thou art even as just a man as e'er my conversation coped withal. Horatio. Oh, my dear lord. Hamlet. Nay, do not think I flatter, for what advancements may I hope from thee, that no revenue hast but thy good spirits to feed and clothe thee? Why should the poor be flattered? No, let the candied tongue lick absurd pomp, and crook the pregnant hinges of the knee, where thrift may follow fawning. Dost thou hear? Since my dear soul was mistress of her choice, and could of men distinguish her election, she hath sealed thee for herself, for thou hast been as one in suffering all that suffers nothing. A man that fortune's buffets and rewards has taken with equal thanks. And blessed are those whose blood and judgment are so well commettled, that they are not a pipe for fortune's finger to sound what stop she please. Give me that man that is not passion's slave, and I will wear him in my heart's core, aye, in my heart of heart, as I do thee. Something too much of this. There is a play tonight before the king. One scene of it comes near the circumstance which I have told thee of my father's death. I prithee, when thou seest that act afoot, even with the very common of thy soul, observe my uncle. If his occulted guilt do not itself unkennel in one speech, it is a damned ghost that we have seen, and my imaginations are as foul as Vulcan's stithy. Give him heedful note, for I mine eyes will rivet to his face, and after we will both our judgments join in censure of his seeming. Horatio. Well, my lord, if a steel aught the whilest this play is playing, and scape detecting, I will pay the theft. Enter trumpets and kettle drums, King, Queen, Polonius, Ophelia, Rosencrantz, Guildenstern, and other lords attendant. Hamlet. They're coming to the play. I must be idle. Get you a place. King. How fares our cousin Hamlet? Hamlet. Excellent in faith of the chameleon's dish. I eat the air. Promise crammed. You cannot feed capon so. King. I have nothing with this answer, Hamlet. These words are not mine. Hamlet. No, nor mine now. To Polonius. My lord, you played once in the university, you say. Polonius. That did I, my lord, and was accounted a good actor. Hamlet. Which did you enact? Polonius. I did enact Julius Caesar. I was killed in the Capitol. Brutus killed me. Hamlet. It was a brute part of him to kill so capital a calf there. Be the players ready? Rosencrantz. Aye, my lord, they stay upon your patience. Queen. Come hither, my dear Hamlet, sit by me. Hamlet. No, good mother, here's metal more attractive. Polonius. To the king. Oh ho, do you mark that? Hamlet. Lady, shall I lie in your lap? Lying down at Ophelia's feet. Ophelia. No, my lord. Hamlet. I mean my head upon your lap. Ophelia. Aye, my lord. Hamlet. Do you think I meant country matters? Ophelia. I think nothing, my lord. Hamlet. That's a fair thought to lie between maid's legs. Ophelia. What is, my lord? Hamlet. Nothing. Ophelia. You are merry, my lord. Hamlet. Who, I? Ophelia. Aye, my lord. Hamlet. O God, you're only jig-maker. What should a man do but be merry? For look, you how cheerfully my mother looks, and my father died within's 2 hours. Ophelia. Nay, 'tis twice 2 months, my lord. Hamlet. So long? Nay, then, let the devil wear black, for I'll have a suit of sables. O heavens, died 2 months ago, and not forgotten yet? Then there's hope a great man's memory may outlive his life half a year. But by your lady, a must build churches then, or else shall a suffer not thinking on, with the hobby horse, whose epitaph is, for O, the hobby horse is forgot. The trumpets sound. Dumb show follows. Enter a king and a queen, very lovingly, the queen embracing him and he her. She kneels and makes show of protestation upon him. He takes her up and declines his head upon her neck. He lies him down upon a bank of flowers. She, seeing him asleep, leaves him. Anon comes in another man, takes off his crown, kisses it, pours poison in the sleeper's ear, and leaves him. The queen returns, finds the king dead, makes passionate action. The poisoner, with some 3 or 4, comes in again, seems to condole her with her. The dead body is carried away. The poisoner woos the queen with gifts. She seems harsh a while, but in the end, accept love. Exeunt. Ophelia. What means this, my lord? Hamlet. Mary, this is a miching malecho. It means mischief. Ophelia. Belike this show imports the argument of the play. Enter prologue. Hamlet. We shall know by this fellow. The players cannot keep counsel. They'll tell all. Ophelia. Will it tell us what this show meant? Hamlet. Aye, or any show that you will show him. But not you ashamed to show? He'll not shame to tell you what it means. Ophelia. You are not. You are not. I'll mark the play. Prologue. For us and for our tragedy, here stooping to your clemency, we beg your hearing patiently. Exit. Hamlet. Is this a prologue or the posy of a ring. Ophelia, 'tis brief, my lord. Hamlet, a woman's love. Enter the player king and queen. Player king. Full 30 times has Phoebus' cart gone round Neptune's salt wash and Tellus' orbit ground, and 30 dozen moons with borrowed sheen about the world have times 12 30s been. Since love our hearts and hymen did our hands unite commutual in most sacred hands. Player queen. So many journeys may the sun and moon make us again count over ere love be done. But woe is me, you were so sick of late, so far from cheer and from your former state, that I distrust you. Yet though I discomfort you, my lord, it nothing must. For woman's fear and love hold quantity, in neither aught or in extremity. Now what my love is proof hath made you know, and as my love is sized, my fear is so. Where love is great, the littlest doubts are fear. Where little fears grow great, great love grows there. Player king. Faith, I must leave thee, love, and shortly too. My operant powers their functions leave to do. And thou shalt live in this fair world behind, honored, beloved, and happy one as kind, for husband shalt thou. Player queen. Oh, confound the rest. Such love must needs be treason in my breast. In second husband, let me be accursed. None wed the second, but who killed the first. Hamlet, that's wormwood. Player queen. The instances that second marriage move are base respects of thrift, but none of love. A second time I kill my husband dead, when second husband kisses me in bed. Player king. I do believe you think what you now speak, but what we do determine oft we break. Purpose is but the slave to memory, of violent birth, but poor validity, which now, the fruit unripe, sticks on the tree, but fall unshaken when they mellow be. But note, most necessary, 'tis that we forget to pay ourselves what to ourselves is debt, what to ourselves in passion we propose. The passion ending doth the purpose lose. The violence of either grief or joy their own enactures with themselves destroy. Where joy most revels, grief doth most lament. Grief joys, joy grieves. On slender accident, this world is not for a. Nor 'tis not strange that even our loves should with our fortunes change. For 'tis a question left us yet to prove, whether love lead fortune, or else fortune love. The great man down, you mark his favorite flies. The poor advanced make friends of enemies. And hitherto doth love on fortune tend. For who not needs shall never lack a friend. And who in want a hollow friend doth try, directly seasons him as enemy. But orderly to end where I begin. Our wills and fates do so contrary run that our devices still are overthrown. Our thoughts are ours, their ends none of our own. So think thou wilt no second husband wed, but die thy thoughts when thy first lord is dead. Player queen. Nor earth to me give food, nor heaven light. Sport and repose lock me day and night. To desperation turn my trust and hope, and anchor's cheer and prison be my scope. Each opposite that blanks the face of joy, meet what I would have a well, and destroy. both here and hence pursue me lasting strife. If once a widow, ever I be wife. Hamlet, if she should break it now. Player King, 'tis deeply sworn. Sweet, leave me here a while. My spirits grow dull, and fain I would beguile the tedious day with sleep. He sleeps. Player Queen, sleep rock thy brain, and never come mischance between us twain. Exit. Hamlet, madam, how like you this play? Queen, the lady doth protest too much, methinks. Hamlet, oh, but she'll keep her word. King, have you heard the argument? Is there no offense in it? Hamlet, no, no. They do but jest, poison and jest. No offense in the world. King, what do you call the play? Hamlet, the mousetrap. Mary Howe, tropically, this play is the image of a murder done in Vienna. Gonzago is the Duke's name, his wife, Baptista. You shall see anon. 'Tis a knavish piece of work. But what of that? Your Majesty, and we that have free souls, it touches us not. Let the galled jade wince. Our withers are unwrung. Enter Lucianus. This is one Lucianus, nephew of the king. Ophelia. You are as good as a chorus, my lord. Hamlet. I can interpret between you and your love, if I could see the puppets dallying. Ophelia. You are keen, my lord. You are keen. Hamlet. It would cost you a groaning to take off mine edge. Ophelia. Still bitter and worse. Hamlet. So you mistake your husbands. Begin, murderer. Leave thy damnable faces and begin. Come, thy croaking raven doth bellow for revenge. Lucianus. Thoughts black, hands apt, drugs fit, and time agreeing. Confederate season, else no creature seeing. Thou mixture rank of midnight weeds collected. With Hecat's band thrice blasted, thrice infected, thy natural magic and dire property on wholesome life usurps immediately, pours the poison in his ears. Hamlet, a poison's him in the garden for his estate. His name's Gonzago. The story is extant and written in very choice Italian. You shall see anon how the murderer gets the love of Gonzago's wife. Ophelia, the king rises. Hamlet, what? Frighted with false fire? Queen, how fares my lord? Polonius, give over the play. King, give me some light. Away! Polonius, lights, lights, lights. Exeunt all but Hamlet and Horatio. Hamlet, why let the strucken deer go weep, the heart ungalled play? For some must watch while some must sleep. Thus runs the world away. Would not this, sir, in a forest of feathers, if the rest of my fortunes turn Turk with me, with two provincial roses on my raised shoes, give me a fellowship and a cry of players? Horatio, half a share. Hamlet, a whole one I. For thou dost know, O Damon dear, this realm dismantled was of Jove himself, and now reigns here a very, very pagic. Horatio, you might have rhymed. Hamlet, oh, good Horatio, I'll take the ghost word for £1,000. Didst thee perceive? Horatio, very well, my lord. Hamlet, upon the talk of the poisoning, Horatio, I did very well note him. Hamlet, aha, come, some music, come, the recorders. For if the king like not the comedy, why then belike he likes it not? Purdy. Come, come, music. Enter Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Guildenstern. Good, my lord. Vouchsafe me a word with you. Hamlet. Sir, a whole history. Guildenstern. The king, sir. Hamlet. Aye, sir, what of him? Guildenstern. Is in his retirement marvelous distempered. Hamlet. With drink, sir? Guildenstern. No, my lord. With choler. Hamlet. Your wisdom should show itself more richer to signify this to the doctor. For me to put him to this purgation would perhaps plunge him into more choler. Guildenstern. Good, my lord. Put your discourse into some frame, and start not so wildly from my affair. Hamlet. I am tame, sir. Pronounce. Guildenstern. The queen your mother, in most great affliction of spirit, hath sent me to you. Hamlet. You are welcome. Guildenstern. Nay, good my lord, this courtesy is not of the right breed. If it still please you to make me a wholesome answer, I will do your mother's commandment. If not, your pardon and my return shall be the end of my business. Hamlet. Sir, I cannot. Rosencrantz. What, my lord? Hamlet. Make you a wholesome answer. My wit's diseased. But, sir, such answer as I can make, you shall command, or rather, as you say, my mother. Therefore no more, but to the matter. My mother, you say, Rosencrantz. Then thus, she says, your behavior hath struck into amazement and admiration. Hamlet. O wonderful son, that can do so astonish a mother. But is there no sequel at the heels of this mother's admiration? Impart. Rosencrantz. She desires to speak with you in her closet ere you go to bed. Hamlet. We shall obey. Were she 10 times our mother. Have you any further trade with us? Rosencrantz. My lord, you once did love me. Hamlet. And do still by these pickers and stealers. Rosencrantz. Good, my lord. What is your case of distemper? You do surely bar the door open upon your own liberty, if you deny your griefs to your friend. Hamlet. Sir, I lack advancement. Rosencrantz. How can that be? When you have the voice of the king himself for your succession in Denmark. Hamlet. Aye, sir. But while the grass grows, the proverb is something musty. Enter the players with recorders. O, recorders, let me see one. To withdraw with you, why do you go about to recover the wind of me? As if you would drive me into a toil. Guildenstern. O, my lord, if my duty be too bold, my love is too unmannerly. Hamlet. I do not well understand that. Will you play upon this pipe? Guildenstern. My lord, I cannot. Hamlet. I pray you. Guildenstern, believe me, I cannot. Hamlet, I do beseech you. Guildenstern, I know no touch of it, my lord. Hamlet, it is as easy as lying. Govern these vantages with your fingers and thumb. Give it a breath with your mouth, and it will discourse most eloquent music. Look you, these are the stops. Guildenstern, but these cannot I command to any utterance of harmony. I have not the skill. Hamlet. Why, look you now, how unworthy a thing you make of me. You would play upon me. You would seem to know my stops. You would pluck out the heart of my mystery. You would sound me from my lowest note to the top of my compass. And there is much music, excellent voice, in this little organ. Yet cannot you make it speak? S'blood, do you think I am easier to be played on than a pipe? Call me what instrument you will, though you can fret me, you cannot play upon me. Enter Polonius. God bless you, sir. Polonius. My lord, the queen would speak with you, and presently. Hamlet. Do you see yonder cloud that's almost in shape of a camel? Polonius. By the mass, and tis like a camel indeed. Hamlet. Methinks it's like a weasel. Polonius. It is backed like a weasel. Hamlet. Or like a whale. Polonius. Very like a whale. Hamlet. Then I will come to my mother by and by. Aside. They fool me to the top of my bent. I will come by and by. Polonius. I will say so. Exit Polonius. Hamlet. By and by is easily said. Leave me, friends. Exeunt all but Hamlet. 'Tis now the very witching time of night, when churchyards yawn, and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Now could I drink hot blood, and do such bitter business as the day would quake to look on? Soft, now to my mother. O heart, lost not thy nature. Let not ever the soul of Nero enter this firm bosom. Let me be cruel, not unnatural. I will speak daggers to her, but use none. My tongue and soul in this be hypocrites. How in my words, some ever, she be shent, to give them seals, never my soul consent. Exit. Scene 3. Enter King, Rosencrantz, and Guildenstern. King. I like him not, nor stands it safe with us to let his madness range. Therefore prepare you. I, your commission, will forthwith dispatch, and he to England shall along with you. The terms of our estate may not endure hazard, so nears a doth hourly grow out of his brows. Guildenstern. We will ourselves provide, most holy and religious fear it is, to keep those many, many bodies safe that live and feed upon your majesty. Rosencrantz. The single and peculiar life is bound with all the strength and armor of the mind to keep itself from annoyance, but much more that spirit upon whose wheel depends and rests the lives of many. The cess of majesty dies not alone, but like a gulf doth draw what's near it with it. It is a massy wheel fixed on the summit of the highest mount, to whose huge spokes 10,000 lesser things are mortised and adjoined, which when it falls, each small annexment, petty consequence, attends the boisterous ruin. Never alone did the king sigh, but with a general groan. King, arm you, I pray you, to the speedy voyage, for we will fetters put about this fear, which now goes too free-footed. Rosencrantz, we will haste us. Exeunt gentlemen. Enter Polonius. Polonius, my lord, he's going to his mother's closet. Behind the arras I'll convey myself to hear the process. I'll warrant she'll tax him home. And as you said, and wisely was it said, 'tis meet that some more audience than a mother, since nature makes them partial, should overhear the speech of vantage. Fare you well, my liege. I'll call upon you ere you go to bed, and tell you what I know. King, thanks, my dear lord. Exit Polonius. Oh, my offense is rank. It smells to heaven. It hath the primal eldest curse upon it, a brother's murder. Pray, can I not? Though inclination be as sharp as will, my stronger guilt defeats my strong intent. And like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin, and both neglect. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with my brother's blood? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Whereto serves mercy but to confront the visage of offense? And what's in prayer but this twofold force, to be forestalled ere we come to fall, or pardon being down? Then I'll look up, my fault is past, but oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me, my foul murderer. That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder, my crown, mine own ambition, and my queen. May one be pardoned and retain the offense. In the corrupted currents of this world, offense's gilded hand may shove by justice, and oft is seen the wicked prize itself buys out the law. But 'tis not so above. There's no shuffling. There the action lies in his true nature, and we ourselves compelled, even to the teeth and forehead of our faults, to give an evidence. What then? What rests? Try what repentance can. What can it not? Yet what can it when one cannot repent? O wretched state! O bosom black as death! O limed soul, that struggling to be free, art more engaged! Help, angels! Make essay! Bow, stubborn knees, and heart with strings of steel! Be soft as sinews of the newborn babe. All may be well. He kneels. Enter Hamlet. Now, might I do it, Pat? Now is praying, and now I'll do it. And so it goes to heaven, and so am I revenged. That would be scanned. A villain kills my father, and for that I, his sole son, do the same villain send to heaven. Why, this is higher in salary, not revenge. It took my father grossly, full of bread, with all his crimes broad blown, as flush as May. And how his audit stands, who knows save heaven? But in our circumstance and course of thought, 'tis heavy with him, and I am then revenged, to take him in the purging of his soul, when he is fit and seasoned for his passage. No, up, sword, and know thy a more horrid hent. When he is drunk asleep, or in his rage, or in the incestuous pleasure of his bed, at game a swearing, or about some act that has no relish of salvation in it, then trip him, that his heels may kick at heaven, and that his soul may be as damned and blacked as hell. Whereto it goes, my mother stays. This physic but prolongs thy sickly days. Exit. King rising. My words fly by, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. Exit.